Hey, follow me on Instagram, Yes King Oliver, and make sure you follow and subscribe so you get a notification when I've released a new episode. You have a great day. So I suddenly get these moments when I just have these thoughts that come into my head. It's almost like you suddenly become aware when you're in a town centre and you see everyone just rushing. And for that very split moment, you just have this like an awakening, like a miniature awakening where you just become aware of everyone rushing and how you're just walking and flowing. And then you look over there and the mum's trying to put a kid in the pram, and then you see the waitress getting stressed because she can't find the order. And you just for that moment just see everything in like slow motion, and it all makes sense. And it's a rare thing. Last time I had this amazing awakening was when I was 21. It was 7 years ago. I used to believe things used to go in patterns of seven. I don't know why, I just had it in my head. I tried to link the patterns, but then I realized it doesn't. It's just how it just, I don't think it has any relevance anymore. But if it does, then I'm almost 28, which means I should be getting back to the energy vibration that I was on when I was 21, which means when I was thinking, I was attracting things immediately. I was seeing these people when I thought about them because my energy was so high. I was literally attracting them straight away. And I just had this meditative mindset more often than I did, say, a few months ago, where I had a bit of brain activity, or I wake up and there's just no brain activity, no voice. And whether planets all align and come and they orbit at the same time every however often, if that is the case, I'm definitely getting back to that, because my mindset and my awareness and my meditative mindset and my thoughts, and I track things, literally it's happening more and more and more. And it's like, holy shit, it's happening again. And I always thought, will I ever get back to that state of awareness? It's like you always want your first high from that drug, and then you realize you're never going to get that high. But this is different, because we're supposed to ascend and get bigger in energy, whereas a drug, I suppose you can only go lower because your body's had that peak of what doesn't really exist in the real world. But
well, there's so many, and it's funny that there's a few things that resonated from what you were saying. One, seven has also been my number. 7 and 77 show up frequently for me, and for a long time I also was seeking for patterns and finding like lineages between that. And it's very fascinating, but your body actually completely regenerates every 7 years. You're a completely new person every 7 years, so that's really fascinating. And then we, whenever we heal ourselves instinctually, whether it's through our subconscious or through our physical health, we are actually able to heal our DNA 7 generations back and 7 generations forward. So I think that's really interesting that number resonated so profoundly with you unawarely. And I agree with you also too about the ascending. I think it's, there's that quote, like if you're not growing, you die. And essentially it's true. Like we're cyclic beings. We're meant to be constantly in a state of evolution. It's part of our purpose here.
So my dad was born on the 14th. My mom was born on the 21st. I'm the 28th. And I was convinced, oh my God, it's that perfect 777. I'm the same as my mum, same as my dad, the same force, same mindset, same brain power, and the same as my dad. It's not like an imbalance way. So you get parents who split up, and then the kids off balance. It's not like that. My mum and my dad and me were literally all the same force, and it's just equal, like a triangle. And I was obsessed. Like, I'm convinced that it's only me, my mum and my dad who have the same 14, 21, 28 cycle. So my dad was born first, 14. Mum was born second, 21. Me, 28. I was convinced it was only me, my mum and my dad on the planet who have patterns of 7 birthdays, because in my mindset, it was all about the force. And if the force is too strong, it will repel. Which means if my parents are the same force, and they should have repelled and shouldn't have had me, but because they've had me, it means that I'm also fighting to get to the same energy as them, but they're also trying to lead me and control and influence as a parent to get me there, whilst I'm trying to gain my own control, whilst they're trying to influence me. So they're saying not to do this, and I'm saying I'm doing this. And it was like this massive like planet battle, because of two massive like see solar systems. And then my sister's boyfriend, his mum and his dad and his sister and him are all patterns of 7. So my theory was I was the only person on the planet who's got two parents also patterns of 7 and me. And then he has all of his family in patterns of 7. Now, I've never met anybody with patterns of 7. But if my sister is the same force as me, and you always attract your brother and your father figure in terms of the mindset and the energy, it does make sense how him, which is basically me and my dad, we're all the same energy, that his parents and sister are all the same energy. It's all about being equal. So it's almost like sheep can only mate with sheep, dogs can only mate with dogs. Patterns of sevens can only mate with patterns of sevens. Because all to do with the mindset, and you've got to see what they see basically in order to be in harmony with people. So he wiped that out immediately. And I thought, well, what I said was a load of nonsense. But what you've just said, there is some truth to it. Tell me about how our bodies regenerate every 7 years and die 7 years. Because I always had this thing about seven. I couldn't understand why. And then I was like, maybe I just made it up because I was trying to link shit. Like, we link stuff, or maybe we're supposed to link stuff, or do we link stuff? You know what I mean? Anyway, tell me about the seven thing.
No, I love that. One, and I think too, like, we definitely attract what we are, right? So, I mean, you're talking about, like, you know, sevens only being with sevens, whatever that. And I think the truth has to be defined by you, right? So if that's your truth, then that's very much a real thing. But in regards to, we definitely attract who we are too. So I love that you're noticing the reflections within the people who are around you that you're resonating with, because that's so profound, especially with your family. But the seven-year concept actually links with the fact that our bodies, we're actually like a living ecosystem. You know, we're made out of bacteria, we're made out of water, we're made out of all these different components, and our cells actually go through a complete regeneration cycle of old cells dying and new cells completely regenerating in a full 7 year cycle capacity. So the, you know, I also was born on the 14th, ironically enough. But I, for me, like, you know, being 26, like when I was 19, you know, like that person who I was when I was 19, very much a part of who I am, but my physical component of my body is not the same at all. Like, there's no difference. So it's really interesting when we're talking about like health and we're talking about like ascension and stuff, because people really do have the ability to completely change their body, their mindset, their structure, and you can do it like with consistent small efforts, and you can really see an impactful change within that 7 year window.
Like, my mum always depended on my dad, because normally the woman depends on the man because the male was bigger. So the male is a protector and goes out to like fight and dominate like the animals. The male is often the one that's like takes charge, and then the female just, I don't know, gets mated and then whatever, and looks after the kids, right? The babies, the offspring. So naturally, my mum looked up to my father. But because she's born on the 21 and my father's born on the 14th, she was always the more natural leader. She always had the higher energy. She always had the more brain power. She should have been in control, the leader. So rather than saying, just taking the charge and trusting her instinct, she would always go to my father for advice, for an opinion, for information. And if it wasn't in alignment with what she was thinking, she'd go into her head, excessively think to try and work out why, but I can see it differently. Like, you're saying it's this, but I know it's that. And it was just that her whole life. And then when she had me, all that energy came on me. So that's what my Tourette's was, because I had Tourette's and I cured it through meditation after 3 weeks, because it was about the outside world did not align with the inside world. What I saw was different to what everyone else saw. So your teacher says this is this, and I'm like, we can't be this because I can see it like this. And so it was going over in my head trying to work out and piece together what she meant. And it was just that 10 years of Tourette's brain activity. The swearing was the frustration, the twitching was like just stimulating other facial muscles, right? So 21, she was the more natural leader. She should have always taken charge, but she didn't. And so when I was enlightened at 21, came off on Tourette's medicine, I saw everything. What I did to myself, I did to my mum, because I realized that I was only like me because of her. So I had to go back in time, as you said, heal the 7 years, in which case it was actually 28 years of being born, for example, because when you suppose we have kids because we have sex and then we get pregnant, right? These days we want kids. We want the kids to complete us. So we're already like a semicircle. So you could say going back 28 years was when she was a semicircle. I had to go back in time to understand who she was before me and then empower that person inside her to where she is now, where she knows all the what I know and she has herself. So now we've gone from like the 7 years in the past, and it's like gone 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You've gone back and you started again. So the old person, say 7 years ago, would have probably died of depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, driven herself to crazy, like just driven herself to like schizophrenic voices in her head, just can't like battling. So I undid that, and now I essentially started again. Remove those 7 year old dead cells, dead mindset, because the stress and anxiety literally would have killed her off, because it does kill you off. Negative energy, stress, heartbeat, headaches all the time. And now she knows all that I know, and she's following other mentors. Like, she's called Liz Earl. She's following other mentors, and she's saying all the shit that I've been saying for the last 7 years, the stuff that Dr. Gundry says and all these amazing people. So I taught her all that. I essentially reprogrammed her to focus on these types of things. And now naturally, because that's part of her mindset, she's seeing these people talk about that stuff. And because she's already had me throat down her throat for 7 years, it seems like it seems so natural and familiar. So now she's focusing on that leader and I can step down.
Well, I think it's, and I would like say is that I think your mom, you created a space where your mom was able to recognize the attributes and the things that you had within yourself that she also possessed, but just hadn't been able to see within herself. So it's really beautiful that you were willing to lead by example and, you know, really do the inner work so that you could show the effects of what this work can do and leading by example. And that's really beautiful that you did that. The same for me and my family. I had developed like similar to where you had where you believe like the link with your Tourette's was based upon your mom having an overactive mind. For my family, you know, several lineages back, like back to my great 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 grandmother, all women in my family have had severe eating disorders, and they've just consistently every generation gotten worse and worse until once they reached me, being the cycle breaker and being the, you know, the being who kind of came in to break this lineage and heal my line. It almost killed me when I was 13. So I really had to go through like the darkest of the dark that I could possibly go through with it. But from that, I was able to transmute that. So when I know if I do bring a child into this life, that component of my lineage will not be passed down because I have cleared it. So I think that that's really beautiful that you've done that for yourself as well too. That's really what the whole philosophy of how what I'm moving my business into is shadow work and integration is all about. It's about recognizing the attributes within yourself that whether they're instinctually from you or passed down through different lineages, like recognizing those attributes of, you know, light and what we would define dark within us and really being able to alchemize the two different spaces so we can create a bigger picture of who we really are as a person and not allow those aspects, you know, like you're, for you, you know, Tourette's could have been a component of a shadow for you. At times, I'm sure, you know, you might have been bullied. People might have misinterpreted what you were trying to say. Inside, you felt the way that you felt. But for you, it could have been something that could have hindered you in embodying your authentic truth, right? So we would define that as a shadow. But you've been able to, you know, recognize the source of what that is, recognize where it's coming from, recognize how to impact it and release it. So you've done like the transmutation of that shadow. That's really what it is. Like, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the same as disease. People think things are hereditary, like cancer, heart disease, stroke. They think it's hereditary because they look at their mother and their grandmother and their father and they think, oh, well, if they've had it, I'm going to have it. Just like if people don't understand what we know, eating disorder, they think, oh, your nan, your mum, your gran, oh, she's got it. It's hereditary. It's like, no. It's not hereditary. You've got to break the pattern. There's circumstances, environmental factors. Who was telling her to eat these certain foods? Bullying. Why did that person stop eating at a young age? Like your gran when she was, say, 14, now she's 70. Why did she stop eating? Bullying. Why was she bullied? Maybe she had ginger hair, but she's always dyed her hair black, so you didn't even know she was ginger. And those traits go down and down and down. And it's up to the awakening person to recognize this and reverse it. Like, it doesn't just have to keep coming down. Like, if you keep eating certain foods and those foods are giving you disease, then gran's going to teach the mum's going to tell you to eat this, and then you're going to teach your kids to eat peanuts with your food, and then before you know it, that kid's got a peanut allergy because there's just too much peanuts in the genes coming down. And anyone has the ability to change that pattern just like that, and it is very hard if they don't want to change. Like, I forced my mum to change. I've had to force her. It was no choice, but it can be broken. Like, it can be broken.
It can be broken. It can. Well, and it's, I wouldn't even like say broken. It can be just changed. It can be, you have so much power. Like if you look at it this way, like we're made out of energy, right? Like our entire existence is made from the same matter which exists around us. So if, you know, the things that are around us are consistently in, you know, cyclic nature and constantly changing. It's very I find it very hard to believe that we don't have the power, you know, considering we have so much power, like that we can't change our, you know, our destiny, everything. So I really align with that too. And it's interesting too, because it, I find that, you know, as you become more consciously aware of these things, there's definitely a component of, it's not an easy journey, I guess I should say. Like, it's not always an easy journey having to become aware of these things. And I think it's only presented to those who really have the capacity to hold the space to really be able to heal or move whatever it is going through. Because it's definitely not easy. Like, I don't, you know, I laugh sometimes when, you know, people kind of put this white light over top of awakening and like, oh, I'm so spiritual. So now I have all, you know, it's like, it's not really like, the amount of dark nights of the souls and like various different things that I've had to go through to kind of have the space of awareness, it hasn't been the, you know, like a complete upward slide into that point.
Yeah, the people see like a spiritually free person with no makeup, confident, whatever. They see that person. What they don't understand is that that person has come from a very dark hole, darker than you have. You haven't been in a dark hole. The other person hasn't been in a dark enough hole that she needs to get themselves out. But we've been in a very dark hole. We had no choice but to sink or swim. So they see this like enlightened person, but they don't understand that we've been through what everyone else has been, but a lot worse. And so we have to maintain that. It's almost like if we are a seven, it's seven steps into the neutral and then seven steps out. Whereas if somebody is, say, just born on the fourth, right, there's only four steps in, so they're four steps till they get out. Whereas us, it's seven steps that we've got to get out. So it's even harder for us to get out, even harder for us to maintain where we've got to. And then you've got to kind of be consistent with living that lifestyle forever, because all the energies around us will pull us back into that pattern. So we've always got to be aware of bad energies and people that have, they don't have our best interest, and people who are going to cause us harm, people who are going to affect our energy, because it's so, our energies, people who are enlightened, their energies are so delicate, hence why they go through that awakening, because they pick up energies differently to how everyone else does. Their energy is so delicate that they have to be aware of everyone around them. Like, they walk into a building or a pub or a restaurant, the energy is bad, they can't sit and enjoy a meal because they're picking up the nervous energy of the waiter or the manager's stress, and you just want to go and help the manager, put your hat on and go and help him, but you can't. So you just, in an environment where it feels just, it doesn't feel nice, you want to relax and let them take control and take the lead. But if you know he can't take the lead and he's stressed, you want to take the lead and you can't. So now you've got to sit there in this nervous energy, and it's not very nice. Hence why a lot of these spiritual awakening people, they're loners. They're not lonely, but they're loners, meaning they don't need anyone. They love their alone time, just going for a walk in nature.
Well, yeah, and I agree with like a lot of what you're saying. I think like I know that every single person in this life has their own story, you know, or their own tribulations. I don't know if necessarily like I could label like my experience worse than someone else's. They're all in their own like authentic truth. But I definitely find that really the, you know, the contrast just comes with what people do based upon the things that they experience. So we have that, you know, that precipice where we choose, you know, to either utilize the medicine from the experience to elevate ourselves to the next level of our embodiment that we wish to seek, or we, you know, we can allow that energy to pull us down. And sometimes you go through this pendulum where it will pull you down quite a bit and then you go up, and it kind of fluctuates. But I really think that that's the distinction between the awareness component, which, you know, I guess we could call that enlightenment, like that, you know, people who are enlightened or more aware of what's going on. I would say that, that awareness component is developed based upon, you know, people being able to sit in spaces that are uncomfortable and really feel them and allow them to move through and not, you know, numb them and distract themselves and run away from things like our society is so instinctually, you know, programmed in us to do all over the place.
So I was watching this thing on Netflix. It's called Unsolved Mysteries. And one of these episodes was this American family who he was convinced that he saw a spaceship, and then that person disappeared. I've not finished it all, but that person disappeared at the same time that they all saw a spacecraft, and it wasn't just one person, it was like four or five of them. And it's like, God, no one knows he exists. I cannot take away that experience that you are convinced that you saw. Who knows whether that was a spaceship? When he says he was like lying down, he was being sucked up and he couldn't move. He was trying to run, but he wasn't going anywhere. he heard his brother say to him, run, like, there, no one's ever going to know whether that's real or not. It's his own experience. Now, you could say that he's dreamt it. He was picking up the thoughts of somebody else who either dreamt it or saw it, or he could have actually seen it. The point is that it's their own experience, like a religion. It's your own experience with your own source, your awakening, my awakening. There's no worse or better, because everyone's going through their own awakening, which is essentially just them freeing themselves, and their circumstances are unique to them and why they were in that pattern trapped. So it's not about right or wrong, worse or better. Don't be so crazy. UFOs don't exist. I can believe that he believes that he saw that. It's not for me to say, well, he probably didn't. It's his own experience. And we all see the same thing differently. When I was just thinking about that, he's convinced, his friend's convinced. It's like, well, there's four of them. They're all saying the same thing. They seem quite normal people. Maybe they did see a UFO. People always say they see it. But then what I think is that it's always the same situation where they see bright lights and they see a round thing and then it zooms off. It's like films. That's what films are. So are we seeing all this stuff based on films, which is what one person made up or created? So we're expecting it to be like that, a round disc, because that's what we think UFOs are. Or did the person who wrote the film years and years and years ago see that, or tune into somebody else who saw it, which made him write that film where it's a round disc shooting off in a bright light? It's like when we die, we think we see a white light and we go to heaven. Now, people, do they see that? Maybe. Why do they see that? Is it created based on what you think we're going to see? Or is it just people telling their own experiences? So everyone has their own unique experience. And
Yeah. Everybody has their own unique experience. And like, really, at the end of the day, like, you know, it's no one's place. Like, I find that it's an interesting topic, and some people would disagree with me when I say this, but I have a background in child and youth counseling, and so, you know, I've worked with various different mental diagnoses, various, you know, different circumstances. And, you know, a lot of the time, you know, when I was doing my one-on-one work with clients, you know, a lot of them had diagnoses where, you know, a lot of the reality was not real or what you would consider to be real. But really, I think like a reality for someone is completely unique to someone, because we're all that we see is just a projection of our own inner world. And so it's really no one's place to say that something doesn't exist for someone else if they find it true for themselves. Now, the only time that I think that, you know, obviously the we sometimes, I think, can become very ungrounded. Like, the reality is that we're all spiritual beings, but like, we do have a physical component in this life, and really to get ourselves away from constantly being stuck in this headspace, which can lead to, you know, distortion in reality and dissociation and all of those things that kind of go along with it. We have to be willing to move the energy through and ground. And so meditation, like you're talking about, that like that being such a huge component of your evolution, is because you were bringing that energy through that was being circulated in your frontal lobe, being trapped within the space, and you brought it through your body and you returned it back where it belonged. That was really the effect. And I think that that's the one thing that we're missing a lot in our society, because we're so programmed to be so fast paced, go, 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 move all the time. We live within the state of adrenaline and dopamine overload that we can't slow down enough. And because we can't slow down, you know, that's why we're seeing so much disconnection. Like, people are so disconnected, not only from themselves, but everything around them. It's a crazy time we're going through right now in this world. And I know that you can speak to it too. Like, there's just a huge shift, I guess would be the best term to say.
So when I was 21 and my brain activity was extremely high, I used to believe that my grandma's spirit was here. My dog used to look at me and bark. She used to just see things and bark and just look around, and it was always my angel. She could see my angels, right? And then I realized there's no angels, there's no grandma. It was all in my head. It's what I created. And then 7 years later, not now, my dog's starting to look at me again. She's starting to go mad like she used to, and she's not really done that until 7 years. Now, as I said, yeah, if things do go in 7 years, am I being reborn again? Is my body, my cells doing a cycle? As you said, is my energy doing a cycle? Because all the shit that was happening then is now returning. Don't know where I'm going with this.
We're constantly being reborn. really. Like that's sort of the medicine that I resonate with the most is the phoenix medicine. You know, that metaphor of, you know, going through that fiery rebirth, you know, having that destruction and then, you know, rising from that space. I honestly think we're every day going through a mild form of death and rebirth. And then we obviously have those days where things are like extremely, you know, in high magnitudes and stuff. But I mean, overall, you know, I think we're consistently going through these cycles. And really the beautiful medicine is, and what I find is probably the most helpful thing that I could offer anybody during this time is just to practice presence.
I remember when I was looking on, say, Google Maps, I saw a stream and it had like sort of small rivers coming off, and you'd zoom out, there'll be like massive, like bigger streams and lots of small, call it side roads. Yeah. And I remember thinking back to science and what lungs looked like and capillaries and blood vessels. Right. And then I thought about broccoli and cauliflower and trees. And I suddenly had an awareness that it's all the same. Like, the small things in the lungs are just small bits of broccoli. A broccoli is a tree. If you zoom up and look down and say this river, it's like the blood in our veins and how our lungs are and how it sort of goes from one thing and connects to the other, like to the capillary, to the alveoli, whatever it's called. Yeah. And I realized, wow, the earth, the rivers, is exactly the same as a tree, exactly the same as how the branches are. It's exactly the same of what we are like in our blood. And then I suddenly became aware that everything is made from the same thing. And then it's like, well, how can that be? Because we are bone, that's a tree, that's wood. Whereas if you get a wood, if you get a piece of wood and you go inside, it's hollow, and then you can like, you make it really wet and it becomes mud. If you get, say, chicken bones and you have like chicken broth, you put the bones in the, make a stew, whatever, a soup, it blends down and it can be just broken down, and then the bone marrow just, it's just not even solid anymore. It's just like compressed mud. And then that disappears. And it's like, well, we are the same as a tree. My bone is the same as a tree. It's just a bit harder. But if that doesn't exist and that physical doesn't exist, then nothing is physical. Because if we think that's physical and that isn't, then everything we think is physical isn't physical. And then it's like, wow, that is extremely powerful. Because then you're like, well, if that is the case, then it's all energy. Then you can just penetrate through anything, hence for the attracting by your thoughts what you want, and being able to get what you want going outwards, like bringing it's different to like physically moving towards it. But
I completely agree with you. And well, we're all just atoms vibrating at different frequencies, right? It's so cool. And I remember, I don't know if you ever watched the Magic School Bus when you were little. I don't know if you ever watched cartoon, but the main character, her name is Miss Frizzle, and they have an episode where they talk about like energy and stuff, and they look at this like rock, like, so say for instance this amethyst rock, they looked at it underneath a microscope and you can see all these open spaces and everything's just moving, and that's what it is. Like we all are just energy, and everything around us is just energy. And that's why it's so important that we treat our body and that we take care of ourselves like an ecosystem. And that's why, like, you know, when we're talking about the world going through, you know, so many changes and so many stuff, it's you know, makes sense why we as a society are also going through such transformative changes on the earth when our earth is also going through them, because we're very much just an extension of that. So it's very, I think it's super, super, super cool stuff.
You know, global warming, for example, that if we keep occupying more land and destroying rainforests to eat, more humans live because we've got food. So there's less land, less forest. And it's that cycle of too much eating, too many humans, less land, until there's like no land, so many humans, and then they can't be fed, so they all die. David Attenborough says that if we change it now, then we're going to get our planet back. I got a question. If, for example, we keep going as we are, ultimately we're going to fuck up the human race because we're not going to be able to survive. Animals might die, trees might die. But animals over time, they will come back, and trees, they will come back. If we keep going the way we are we going to fuck up the planet permanently, where trees can't come back and the ecosystem, as you said, can't rebuild again without us? Or is it based on humans and we're fucking up our life and what we've created? Because as you said, the ecosystem will always find a way to come back. Even if there was nothing, a seed would end up creating a massive forest, and the wind would blow it across the world. So eventually it would happen again.
Yep. Yeah. I agree with you. It's, I like we're the issue right now is that our ecosystem can only interact with things that are bioavailable, things that are, you know, from the same matter in which they are created, which is why our nature has this natural equilibrium, you know, because it's all made from the same source. But here we've created matter that's not bioavailable in our cells, and our environment do not know what it is. They can't identify it, they can't utilize anything from it to repurpose it and to, you know, re-put it back into their system and stream. And so it ends up creating a lot of problems. And that's why, like, we're seeing a rise of, you know, cancer, we're seeing a rise of global warming and all of those things. To be honest with you, the magnitude of shift that we require as a collective to really save the planet, it's going to take a big magnitude of change to do that. And, you know, I have faith that if people themselves, you know, conscientiously make efforts every day to be a better person, to take care of the environment more, you know, we could get there. But the reality is that people have to take care of themselves. And what really right now, a lot of our world is not very conscious of their impact towards things. And that's really the problem. It's like the level of unconsciousness that we have in our earth is directly linked to the why our earth is, you know, in the state that it's in. So, you know, this whole awakening thing, and that, you know, we talk about this new earth, is really going to be the embodiment of people living in cyclic nature and unison with the earth. From the earth, on the earth, with the earth, no longer feeling completely disconnected from it and being a separate source from it.
Do you think that, you know, for example, the pattern of seven thing, where every 7 years it's reborn, the cycle starts again. Do you think that this has already happened before? So people say that there's, you know, modern technology, UFOs, they just past humans that got too smart, like we are now, like Elon Musk, and he goes to Mars because we think we're fucking up the planet. Is this the cycle where, like, too many trees get close together, they burn, too many humans get close together, they get the virus and they die? Is this the universe, the earth's way of, or is it the cycle, like, whether we have a vaccine or not, humans are going to keep evolving, we're going to keep finding ways to stay alive through food and medicine, we're only going to get closer together, only going to spread more disease and more flu? Like, is this the earth's way, like in nature, you see it with nature, of just resetting itself? So no matter what we do, we think we've got control, making vaccines and masks and social distancing, but really we're not going to do shit, because the earth has a way of every 7 years, for example, recycling the dead wood and creating new wood. Like, so we don't have any control, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think, at the end of the day too, like, we're, you know, who we are, like what we are, like we, you know, we're, this is my belief, I should say. My belief is that, you know, obviously that, you know, the state within us is completely eternal. So our physical state really is just one component of who we are. Like, we, you know, we've come here to Earth to have this experience for our evolution. But, like, I know that this is not my home. I know that I'm not, like, from Earth primarily. Like, I've, you know, I've reincarnated from a completely different space, and I'm very, you know, comfortable in saying that. I'm here to help Earth, but I recognize that I'm not necessarily from this space alone. And I think there are a lot of other beings who can resonate with what I'm saying right now across the collective and kind of feeling that. But I think really what happens is that, yes, like, nature, you know, will always have a way of kind of coming through. And I think in regards to what's going on right now, It's hard to say. I mean, I'm a huge conspiracy theorist kind of person, so I don't know how far down the hole you want to go with that. But I think there's a lot of things happening right now in our earth and in our world, because there's a huge amount of shadows that have had to be completely brought to the surface so that they can be let go in order for us to move forward. Because right now we have things in our earth, in our world right now, things that are higher up, things that have things that have, you know, more control over the way that our society functions aren't necessarily in favor with the earth, living in unison with the earth, living in unison with people. And until we can clear that, it's going to be hard for a lot of people who are here to kind of bring in that new energy of the earth to really be able to do what they're doing. So right now, what we're really seeing, and what, you know, many different, you know, shamanisms, Mayan calendars, lots of different things have predicted, is we're going through this evolution of the age of, we left the age of Aquarius. I forget what we're going into. The age of Pisces, I believe, is what we're into now. So it's a lot of, Sorry, what did you say?
I said, I'm Aquarius.
You're Aquarius. There you go. Yeah, the philosophical sign. So it makes sense why you're so in your head, right?
So do you mean people, the higher ups, or do you mean like energy? When you say...
I mean both. I mean, like, so I believe that... Here, let's get... Like, I'll be super honest with you. I believe that our society is controlled by, a kind of human being that's sort of in hybrid with, reptilian race and different things. And I think that we saw... So basically what ended up happening was is eons and eons and eons and centuries ago, we actually did live in unison with the Earth. We functioned in bartering systems. People would actually produce goods and exchange goods, and there was no money involved in things at all. And people actually functioned better like that because there was no rich or poor. Everyone was just, you know, the amount of effort that you put in to consciously create was the amount of abundance that you had. And that's how it functioned. However, during that time period where the ego became much more prevalent within our society, and we also saw a lot of different people kind of resurfacing on Earth in new energies, we moved into a system of currency, of money, of control. And gradually over time, we have this, what I call the gap in the matrix. So we have people who are up super, super, super high. They own 97% or 95% of all of the money in the world, this higher up sort of thing. And then the rest of us are below this. And it's so hard for people to... get to this level because there are certain things that obtain in order to have that. I really think, like, in order to be famous and have a lot of wealth and all of these things, I do think there's a component of something within themselves that they have to give up. I truly do believe it. I don't know. So I'm when I say that I think our Earth is being cleansed, I'm talking about old systems, old structures, old functions that were created by people who are no longer in the best interest of what our world needs, are going to be cleansed and moved through in one form or another, whether it's within my lifetime or someone else's. But I truly do believe that that's what's happening right now. I think, you know, when you're talking about that cleanse or that 7-year cycle, I think we're going through that right now. I really do.
Now, when you think about, for example, how technology pretty much in the last, let's just say 7 years, has gone from shit and nothing to everything in one thing, an iPhone, compared to what it was, say, 7 years ago, even a laptop or a phone, even cars, it's suddenly done a jump in 7 years. And then before that, it was just computers were massive things or whatever. Let's just say because of the virus, right, that companies, they have so many overheads and they need so many people buying products that within 1 month of them not having enough customers, they can go from making 100 million in a year to, say, a loss of a billion. So as you're saying, that this cycle is affecting so many massive businesses that they've got so many stores and so many overheads that they need this money coming in. And without this money coming in, they go bust. So all these massive companies that have been around for a long time or not, they're going bust because they've just got so much debt. If they stay open for another few months, that the big companies crumble. And now you're left with just some man's pizza shop on the corner, how it used to be, as opposed to Domino's all around the world, right? They only get their wealth because of there's so many people, and because of the internet, you can market all at the same time. But without all that system set up, it crumbles. So as you said, this is the period where it is crumbling. Like in the stock market's up in America or whatever, but that's general. So many companies, like even say Virgin Atlantic, Boeing or whatever, they're going to have to go bankrupt at any point. And now these big corporations, they're going to go bust. And because it took a long time to build, they can't just get another loan and build again. That's just not how it works. It's the new cycle of trees that have had a fire and they're starting to grow. And the small guys like us have a chance
to move up, to rebuild.
Like, yeah. So I do agree.
Yeah, and if you look at, like, when I was going through my integrative medicine and nutrition certification, a really alarming statistic that actually, you know, kind of proves this point quite clearly is the fact that all of the food in our world is actually controlled. The access of the food that we have is actually controlled by 7 different companies. And one of the main companies is actually in control of the food that we eat in our grocery stores is Monsanto. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, Monsanto, but it's actually the company who's in charge of putting pesticides on our foods, in charge of poison control and stuff, but they're actually in charge of our food as well. So it makes you wonder, you know, what's going on here? You know, why, you know, and right now I think like what we're seeing is that like a lot of small businesses aren't being able to function, right? And like, you know, and unfortunately due to this, you know, a lot of people are having to close, and it's not, our world can't keep functioning like this. It can't keep functioning like this. It can't keep functioning that the people who are up are consistently up, and then the people who are down have no supports to get themselves up. Everybody has the capacity to have amounts of abundance and wealth, but a lot of us don't have the resources to heal the trauma, to provide ourselves with the food, to provide ourselves with the environment and safety to create and cultivate those things. And so, you know, even though we all have the power within us to create our reality, without certain parameters and things set in place, certain foundations, you know, that, you know, and you know, unfortunately the way our society works, that money can provide, you know, we're seeing a lot of people suffering, and it just breaks my heart that, you know, we've created a world where we have people who are so far down. Like there has to be something that we can do differently, you know? And I really truly believe, you know, that people who, you know, are being conscious and waking up are here to do that. You know, we're here to bring that unconditional state of love, which is our authentic truth. And once you can get into that space, there's no separation of anything. You know, there's no difference between you and someone else. There's no, you know, if I have more abundance, it doesn't make me any different than you, you know? And I'm hoping that as a society, we can kind of get into that space.
So when I see anybody on the street, it could be the bin man, it could be a homeless man, it could be a child, an old man, a granny, a neighbor. This is something I just love speaking to them. Just speaking, like just communicating, like that feeling cannot be bought. And I do think over the last, say, 50 years is when people who were supposed to ascend, as in learn from your mother and your father's mistakes, it's gone down because society has been controlled by this other force, a big company, government, whatever, where people don't listen to their parents. They listen to school and what their friends say, which is based on what their parents or whatever. So rather than going up and evolving, it's gone down. So over 50 years, we've all trapped ourselves. I don't believe that people can get themselves out of a hole unless they want to. You have to know your traps in order to want to get out. If you don't know you're trapped, then there's nothing to change. But I do believe it's the system that has made people unconsciously or consciously trapped, that they don't even realize what they're eating is going to fucking kill you. And you've no idea because you just eat that every day because it's just what everyone else eats.
You trust, right? Like you want to be able to trust because you would think that, you know, if it's being given to me, it must be good for me, right? But unfortunately, like in order for our society to function, because it functions on money, we have to be able to sell things. And over time, through science and lots of research, they've been able to find how, you know, the human mind responds to certain things, and similar to bad food, our body responds to it in the same way as drugs, right? So we're addicted to things that are bad for us because we've been programmed to believe that those are the good things, the things that taste good, the things that make us feel good, the thing, you know, all of these things. So really, like the whole process of awakening and consciousness right now in shadow work is unlearning all of which you once defined to be true, and really being open to the discernment of changing that truth for yourself based upon what you're being presented with, you know? So I always recommend anybody I work with, if you set the intention to be a better person, to make the world a better place, and you set that intention and you open yourself up and you allow yourself to surrender to the process, things will show up for you to show you how you can make a difference, how you can make a change. Like I truly believe that. So I really hope that, my hope for humanity is that everybody feels that they have a seat at this table. Everybody has an opportunity to have a seat at this table, and everybody is loved in choosing what they need to do for themselves.
How are you doing for time, by the way?
I probably have to leave actually in another minute or so. So it's good to be checked in.
Plug your website, social media, whatever you're doing.
Definitely. So my name is The Shadow Priestess, all one word, all together, on Instagram. You can find me there. And you can also find me on Facebook as well at The Shadow Priestess as well. I do have a contact via email that you can reach me at there. And feel free to check me out anytime. I'm always very active on social media.
All right, shall we stop this here?
That's wonderful.
Okay, wait there one sec. Hang on. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Remember to subscribe and follow so when I release a new one, you get a notification. And follow me on Instagram, YesKingOliver. Ciao, amigos.